Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Scene, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. Okay, now we've got some serious feedback I have to deal with. Try that. But then I don't know if you can hear that in here. Probably not. Nope. All right, well, it's fine. Well, you can, well, maybe not. Well, there goes our theme song, everybody. Well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. It's fine, she says. Here we go. At least, no, we can't even have an audience. You can have one or the other. Let's see here. Well, what if we do this? Nope, that's worse. All right, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. There you go. We're clapping. Technology these days. Oh, my goodness. Well, but you can hear me. Okay. That's a good thing because at least we have that. Cause a lot of times we don't even have that. So there is that. So thank you for tuning in. I didn't even look up for the bestie. Today is April 3rd. Can you believe that we are already into April? Oh, my Lord. And drum roll, how many days until Christmas? You'll never believe it. 266 days until Christmas, folks. I know it. So our sister's very excited. That's for the bestie. April 3rd. Did anybody do any April Fool's jokes? I think there were some online. Oh, yeah. Somebody from Tombstone posted that Six Flags was taking over. And they were going to, like, turn, like, the courthouse into, like, this big amusement thing. And they were going to have, like, the big, you know, rides out down Allen Street. And they were going to – no, the courthouse was going to be the Haunted Mansion. Oh, it was pretty good, actually. They did fool some people in Tombstone because we have this desert. They go around and they interview all the businesses and they talk about what's going on in town. And it's like, yeah, Six Flags has been working with the chamber for – X amount of months, and we're really excited to present this. And some people just probably totally forgot that it was April Fool's, and they were like, what? They probably freaked out. They probably called the mayor. I could just imagine the chaos. Oh, cahooting and colluding to get Six Flags down there, although some of us probably would be like, yeah, do it. All right. Thanks for tuning in, folks, to Weed Day Wednesday. Thanks to our host with the most, Tumbleweed Health Center at 4826. East Broadway Boulevard, come on down and get certified. If you want to know what you get certified for, get on over to the certification section of tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And you can book your appointment right there. We do offer telemedicine. It's the next little section over. We do offer that for folks that can't come in, don't want to come in, or just live so far away that it's just not even okay to come in. If you have one of these conditions, you can get a medical cannabis card. And right now, we have a special. It's $269. That includes everything, including the ridiculously huge $150 state fee. So the doctor fee, processing fee, and all of the fees. PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, AIDS, chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, including epilepsy, HIV, hep C, ALS, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's disease, cachexia or wasting syndrome, severe and persistent muscle spasms, including multiple sclerosis, you're eligible for a medical cannabis card if you suffer from from a chronic or a debilitating disease or medical condition or just the treatment. That's right. Just the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or medical condition that causes any of the above conditions and more. So if you're being treated for something that's not on the list, but the treatment's causing something like, I don't know, pain or nausea or headaches, excuse me, even seizures, you can get your medical cannabis card for that.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
208-384-430. You can email thctucson@gmail.com. You can just come on down Monday through Friday, 10 to 6 p.m., 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. And if you're just looking for some really great hemp and CBD products, we've got those at Tweeds Health Center. We also have them at the Goodleaf at 6224 East Speedway Boulevard over by Bookman. So get on over there, get your gummies, get your capsules or whatever, and then get on over to maybe, what's the Beyond Bread? Get a little latte, a little goodie, and then go to Bookman's. So see, it's a threefer right there. You get your CBD, your sweets, and your books, and your gifts. They've got all sorts of things in there. All right, we've got a special guest on today. It's been a little while since we've had, and we've been trying to organize this one for a while. We have Imbucana, I hope I say that right. You'll probably correct me in a minute. Leo Mendez, they manufacture oral solid dosage forms of cannabinoids. And they're from Virginia. Let's give a warm welcome to Mr. Leo. Thank you for coming on air with us today.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, there you are. Well, you're welcome. Are you in Virginia right now?
Yes, we are. We are in beautiful Roanoke, Virginia, even though it's a bit of a cloudy day today.
Still beautiful. Someone got their fiddle out?
No, we just got the banjo. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's good. That's good. We'll take a banjo. Let's hear it.
It's a bluegrass state over here.
Yeah. Absolutely. I play bluegrass music in my other business in Tombstone on the weekends. It's fantastic. We love the bluegrass. Silver Sister is a fiddle player herself.
Oh, that's great. Yes, a lot of bluegrass here. But, you know, I'm a pianist, so nobody wants to play bluegrass with me.
Ooh.
So,
what?
But I stick to it. Yeah, because it's very traditional, you know, bluegrass music doesn't have piano. So,
yeah,
tough,
true.
But.
Well, grab a penny whistle and jump on in.
Right.
What time is it over there? Are you 2 or 3 hours?
We are 3 hours, so it's 11 a.m. here.
Oh, okay. You're getting ready for lunch. We're just sipping our coffees over here. We're in Tucson, Arizona.
A little bit. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you being here. It looks like, I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about yourself. I have a ton of questions, but you come from an interesting background, and now you're into cannabis. So tell us where you came from and how you got here.
Yes, thank you very much. So I'm a chemist by profession. I went to Florida State University. From there, I've had now what is my 24th year in pharmaceuticals. Started out, you know, in the lab and worked my way up through various companies. But I was very lucky because as I switched around, I moved from soft gel technology into solid dose technology, which is, you know, technically speaking or layman's terms, pills. So I had some experience with that, and then I went into coatings, and then from there I changed into a technical sales role and then sales and then more business development. And after 20 years, I started my own RX formulation company. It's in Florida. That was in 2015. It's Inactive Ingredients. And this is where really the cannabis story begins. You know, when you're a contract RX formulation company, you get pretty much the toughest formulations from the industry to solve. And so we had pretty good foundation on formulating very difficult products. For example, formulating products that the dosage was only half a milligram. And so, you know, how do you get half a milligram into a tablet and it's consistent, right? Because an extra half a milligram could potentially kill you. So, you know, this is kind of our expertise down in Florida. And I would say around the end of 2018 or so, we began to get some calls from small companies that were trying to make chewables and pill forms of cannabis. And at that moment, it was pretty much all tinctures.
Right.
And so they sent us samples. We looked at their samples from a couple of customers, actually, and it was just a kind of a Frankenstein pill. It was really kind of blotchy. One tablet would contain, let's say, 5 milligrams of THC. Another one would contain 25 milligrams. And so what they were doing was basically taking the oil, and mostly CBD oil, and then they were spreading it on some filler and then mixing it. But unfortunately, to convert oil into a solid powder takes some technology. Otherwise, like I said, you were just going to get very just blotchy tablets and not going to be consistent.
Right.
And so we thought about this. First of all, we could have just made formulations for them. But, you know, to make this conversion possible, it requires some advanced pharmaceutical kind of technology. And that can be very expensive.
Yeah.
And so we developed sort of an intermediate product that small companies, even, you know, single-person companies, can purchase this directly compressible powder that was over 75% concentrated, and they had to do nothing. All they had to do was basically take the powder and compress it as is, or put in their favorite filler and make their own products, which was and still really remains almost very, very bizarre for persons out there to develop on their own. Because again, it does take a lot of technique to incorporate that oil into a solid matrix. So we filed some patents on this in USA and here in the US and in Canada, and those patents are actually still ongoing. But as a couple of years went by, I decided, you know, I think it might be better to just start making these products for these folks, being that solid dose is, you know, the primary form of medication in the world is the pill form. You know, if you look at new drug developments or new drug launches, and you remove injectables from the amount of, or the category of launches, you know, you'll see that 75% of the products of new drugs are pill form, either a capsule or a pill form.
Yeah.
So as you may have noticed in the market, and now they're starting to surface, but when you walk into a dispensary, maybe last year, there was really no pill forms at all. There was no chewables. It was basically foods, edible foods. And again, that comes back to the difficulty in converting oil into a tablet. So, for example, we make some mints here, some small mints, and we have, you know, 45 milligrams of oil in a tablet, and it's completely undetectable. And so that kind of technology is what we're trying to bring in to the cannabis industry. And being that solid dose is a much less expensive dosage form, and again, the world's most preferred dosage form, we believe that we're in a pretty good situation to deliver some high-quality products at a much less price with pharmaceutical manufacturing regulations and so forth. And the reason I say that, and some customers are a little bit strange when I say something like that, but when I say that these pills, even though they're advanced technology, they're less expensive, you can imagine that for, let's say, every 1,000 gummies that can be produced, we produce maybe 50,000 doses.
Oh, Lord.
And so,
wow.
So you can see, yeah, so you can see how the cost is driven
yeah.
way down if you choose to go with solid dose. So that I
right.
think, encapsulates sort of the beginnings of this company. And that's what we're doing now. We are offering these services, particularly to the very small companies, and try to introduce solid dose to their customers, which, again, all the benefits of solid dose, which we can go into, we go along, I think.
Wow. Oh, I have so many questions, and you answered so many questions
yes.
already.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I know, now I got to switch gears. Why do you think people are so, why do you think they want this form? Is it because it's what's
well,
been known to them their whole lives? Because, you know, we've got a generation of people now that are 70 plus that are getting into this because their doctors are telling to, and they're like, holy Toledo. And they're familiar
yeah.
with that, or what do you think it is?
Well, first of all, you know, oral solid dose is pretty ubiquitous, and I think it's fundamentally rooted in the benefits of the dosage form itself. So with solid dose, you get precise dosing, you get better stability, you get better patient compliance. To distribute, you know, these dosages are a lot easier. They don't have to be prone to, you know, for example, gummies that can melt in heat. They don't
oh,
feel
right.
like oils. And, of course, you know, the widespread use of these tablet forms, like for tablets and capsules, in pharmaceuticals contrasts very much relatively to their almost non-existent presence in this industry. And so this disparity really points out a couple of very important considerations, which is how long it's going to take these products to mature into the market. Of course, as you know, the regulatory environment is pretty chaotic. So all in all, I would say the benefits to OSD, which is what we call oral solid dosage, first and foremost, like I said, dosing accuracy, the consistency. Tablets, the form of the tablets allows for very exact dosages. Particularly in pharmaceutical applications, and particularly when the dosage or the active is very low. And we are seeing now, for example, microdosing, where we're seeing
yes.
2 milligrams of THC,
mm-hmm.
2 milligrams CBD.
Yep.
And so when we're talking, and so to distribute those 2 milligrams exactly across all those tablets, this is what I'm talking about when I say dosing accuracy and consistency between each tablet. There's mm-hmm. also a stability and the shelf life. Generally speaking, tablets are way more stable than liquids or gels. I mentioned patient compliance, the convenience of carrying tablets and capsules, which are so much easier to administer. Trying to break a gummy in half, for example, to get 2 milligrams, you know, you might get 3. What do you know, right? Cause
you might get all 10.
Dose. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the discretion, the portability, and of course, as you mentioned, the cost effectiveness, these are also very easy to scale up. So for example, we can add ingredients to them very easily, a lot more easily than we can to gummies or tinctures, mm-hmm. Particularly
right.
when adding dietary supplement sort of ingredients
right.
such as other herbals. So these are the benefits, I would say, of solid dose. And also, of course, there's, historically speaking anyways, we've been pretty much dominated by inhaled products, smoking, vaping, and edibles. So
mm-hmm.
I think that there's still a lot of limited customer awareness to solid dose. And again, it is gaining some ground. I remember, for example, when we started and we looked up the current clinical trials just back in 2018 that were going on with cannabinoids. And 95% of all the trials, they were using either an isolate form or they were using a tincture or a capsule. And if you look up trials now, it's like 80% are being developed into tablets and capsules. So I think this increasing interest in this form, especially in the CBD industry, which is a lot more accessible to the general public, really presents an opportunity
yeah.
to adapt this sort of pharmaceutical product, which comes with, when I say pharmaceutical product, it comes with good manufacturing practices regulations. It comes with a tremendous amount of quality control through every step of the process. And so when you see a, for example, a gummy versus a tablet, you know that this tablet has been prepared in a pharmaceutical regulatory environment, as opposed to the gummy, which is manufactured in a food regulatory environment. And so, you know, on our side, for example, on our side, we have to, you know, approve all vendors, take samples of their materials before we can even get it in the house. We have to test those samples, approve them, conduct audits, and then we have to test each and raw material that comes into our warehouse. You know, gets quarantined, it gets sampled, it gets identity testing through HPLC or FTIR before it gets released into production. And then, of course, there's always a production person and then a QC person right next to him or her, and they go through every single step. So everything that gets weighed is double-checked. And then from there, once the mixing is done, we test also the mix in different places to make sure the content is spread equally. And then the same thing, we do other quality checks during tableting. Very similar, we check tablet weights and what we call friability, which is whether any parts of the tablet are going to break up, especially in shipping or if they shake them in a bottle. So they undergo through all those tests. They undergo disintegration studies to make sure that they disintegrate in the stomach. And then even further, because these are tablets and lend themselves to more advanced formulations, we can do sustained release formulations with these. And again, we measure the disintegration time, the dissolution time, and we can sort of control how the cannabinoids are being released time-wise, even where in the body, you know, whether we can make an enteric formulation or sustained or a time release. There are even more advanced formulations. For example, there's pulsating formulations, which controls any kind of addiction, especially on the drug side. So, for example, you start with a core, like a sugar core, and then you would coat your first layer of cannabinoid on there, and then you would seal that with a water-soluble layer, and then you would add another layer to that and so forth, and you could build sort of a granule that will release cannabinoids, say, once every hour releases a milligram. And so these
that
controls
the
will
time
be kind of,
yeah,
like a time release, yeah. And so these are the products that we are working here to develop and create. So there's obviously, you can imagine, there's a lot of research to this. but we, so far, have gotten some pretty good results. Like I said, we have brought in some very high-tech pharma formulations in here. And that being said, as I mentioned, does not relate to the cost of these products.
Yeah.
But eventually,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
My vision is that the industry will eventually turn to solid dose. And you mentioned the aging population. I think that has gained a lot of momentum there. And especially for those folks who are used to medication in a tablet form, they would be a very, very good patient for these types of delivery forms.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. People really want to know what they're taking and how it's going to affect them. Sounds like you've got the science of that done.
Yes, it's, you know, science is always developing, so we're always developing here as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some pretty good headway.
There are some products out here in Arizona that I particularly like to recommend because they are just that. They're a little 1.5 and a 2.5 milligram little chewable candy. It's dissolvable. And I do like to recommend those because they do seem effective, the low dosage, and I like that it's consistent.
Right.
And it comes in a little tin, very discreet,
yep.
Very easy to take,
yep.
Very, very consistent. All the things you're talking about are everything that we've seen in where, you know, because we started out when it was just mostly flour, and then it went from flour to the tinctures. So, yeah, and it's still the first thing people say to us, and we're like, well, what have you considered getting your medical marijuana card? Like, oh, I don't want to smoke. And we go, oh, that's the least you have to do now. I mean, there's spaghetti sauce. I mean, there's so many other options that you can pick from. But I do like these options because of the consistency. We've had a lot of patients that come to us and say, you know, I tried to get this and I got that for a while. Now it's gone and they don't have this anymore and they're not making that anymore. And it's really hard to legitimize an industry when it's so all over the place and it's not regulated yet, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely all over the place.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, this has been very, very interesting for us navigating the regulations. You know, every state is different and, some states are very, very nuanced in what they need and what they require. So that definitely helps.
How's Virginia
for us?
Yeah, how's Virginia?
Virginia is pretty good. Unfortunately, we couldn't pass the recreational, or I should say the retail THC sales this year. So we're going to have to stick here with CBD Farm Bill compliant.
There's no medical? Cannabis?
So yeah, there is medical and it's recreational. It's just you cannot purchase or sell.
Awesome.
Yes. So that's what we have here. However, we can make product that has plenty of THC that we can get to other states, except we can't sell it here. So there's a lot of nuances here in Virginia. I know we're very different from Arizona.
So you have to go to other states to get it and bring it back?
No, we can get it here. We can get it from any state. We prefer to get it here locally, of course. But yeah, we can bring in the raw material from any state.
Oh, okay. I guess I was confused. I thought you said you couldn't sell it or buy it. So.
So here in Virginia, as a resident here, you would have to, for cannabis, you'd have to just get a prescription because it's medical. And then you can go to the dispensary. Yeah. But if you didn't have a medical card, you couldn't purchase it.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So it's not.
Yeah. So it's just rec that didn't pass. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, medical is still a good thing. That's what we do at a medical doctor's office. So yeah.
Yeah, of course, this is where the industry is. This is why the industry is so strong for medical reasons.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So speaking of medical, it sounds like all your products are going through very rigorous testing. And you mentioned on your website you're able to work in an FDA-controlled environment.
Yes.
How is that?
Our plant here is meets the regulations of 21 CFR Part 111, which is the regulations covering the production of these products here. So when I say good manufacturing practices, which is short for, or long, I should say, for GMP, which is sort of the standard language, and this is a system that we incorporate here, which is, again, dictated by the FDA regulations. Which ensures that products are consistently produced and they're controlled according to published standards, you know, pharmaceutical standards that have been set. So it minimizes the risks basically involved in production of these products that can't really be eliminated through testing the final products, let's say. So, you know, the main goal of these regulations is, of course, to protect the end user. It's basically the same... the same regulations as pharmaceutical, except pharmaceutical has to do just slightly more validation studies than we do. And of course, they have to have a safe for their drugs. And so we don't have to have any of that. But it covers all aspects of production as far as the regulations are concerned. There's, you need to have a, for example, you need to have a quality management system that ensures the products are quality. You have to have specifications for that quality. You have to make sure your sanitation and hygiene is perfect. So, for example, when we go into production, there's an intermediate room, which is a gowning room. And so there we have to put on all our gowns, face masks, hair coverings, gloves, and full suits to go and to make these products in there. There's, of course, dictated controls of environmental conditions, so air quality, temperature, humidity. So all that has to be checked, recorded daily. There's, of course, traceability, recall procedures, which are set by the FDA that we have to follow when something happens, which we don't anticipate anything like that. But we do have to have a plan in place for it, which we do. And all the equipment has to go through validation, has to be validated to show that it works. It has to be calibrated. Stickers have to go on there before anything is produced, anything weighed. The operator needs to sign in to the room, needs to put the batch number in, needs to record the humidity, the temperature, needs to record the calibration of each equipment that was used, and so forth. So the traceability is really what this is, what this is about. And then in the end, you know, like I said, we test our products here internally, and then we send it out. In addition to that, we send it out for a third-party C of A. And so kind of completes the quality, should we say, sphere of the business. Everything here, like I said, is set from beginning to end. Any deviations are recorded. Any deviations are tested. So that's how we produce these products, which is not, again, it's not something that happens in the food industry to this level. And so that's why, you know, the solid dose is such a more superior product in terms of quality than anything else, really, that can deliver medicine. Again, aside from injectables, which holds a much, much higher quality going directly into your bloodstream. There's
injectables, is that what you said?
Regulations for that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So that has a whole different set of regulations for it.
Yeah.
So that's what we focus on here, you know, like what we call GMP products. And I think, you know, every listener should always inquire about the GMP status of the company that they're dealing with, because these are things that are verified. That Virginia State comes in here for inspections. We're open to inspection from the FDA. We have to register all of our equipment with the DEA. So everything in here is very high quality. Everything is traceable, documented, and that's how we operate the solid dose business here at Buchanan.
I'm coming to Virginia. That's awesome.
Thanks.
It's really great to hear that because, you know, there's so many players in this, and there's so many people that just, the next thing you know, there's a whole new brand of something out there, and somebody's entering the cannabis CBD market, hemp market, and how are they regulated? In Arizona, we're supposed to have all of our, you know, dispensary products tested third party. And soon enough, it's going to be in-house testing for Arizona. Yeah. So it's hard to know. Anyone can make a COA on their computer and just post it on the wall.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, you know, with you've got regulations through the FDA and DEA, so it doesn't sound like you're deviating from any of that in any way.
Oh, no. Anyway, we're not going to
be doing what you're doing.
No. I mean, like I said, I mean, for me, even building this plant was a little bit strange because we built this plant on pharmaceutical principles as far as quality, which is, you know, in terms of what the Virginia Department of Agriculture needs for the permit, we're over quality, right?
Right.
So I said they've come in here, they've been inspected. Obviously, we've passed the inspections. We have our permits and our GMP paperwork. Anybody is open to audit us. So any customer that wants to come in here and take a look around, we'd be happy to open up the plant for them, open up our books to them. Like I said, that's kind of part of the GMP process. So we don't, there's nothing here to hide. As far as our customers are concerned, they have access to our batch records. They know who our suppliers are, how we are testing our oil suppliers. So we're again, like in pharma, very transparent and open company.
Yeah.
And I think that happens when you realize that you're making some good product. so we have nothing.
Absolutely. Nothing to hide.
Yeah, so absolutely not.
Nothing
yeah,
to hide.
On the contrary.
Yeah.
The more we can be visible, the better it is for us.
Amen to that. Like I said, there are a lot of people in the industry that just aren't that. Not, they don't have that quality or, you know.
And again, it goes back to that these products are not required through the FDA to meet these sort of pharma standards, but they need to just meet the food standards. And again, that's a very different thing.
Yeah, it is.
As far as regulations and the testing involved and all that. So for the food industry,
now,
for example, they just need to receive a C of A with their shipment.
Oh.
And that's pretty much it.
Oh. Wow.
And it goes right into production. So, yeah, so that's one example.
Wow. That's not a lot.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Like I said, anybody can make that up.
Yes,
oh,
so that's why I said a little bit ago, you know, be diligent and inquire, because any company that is operating under these GMP principles and, well, I shouldn't even say principles, and regulations.
Right.
They legally and morally and ethically should open up to you all their paperwork, their suppliers, obviously under NDAs. So anybody that's hiding this from you is not following the good manufacturing practices as dictated by law and by ethics, really.
Yeah.
It's a very important point to bring up when you're purchasing these products.
I don't think most people know what that is even, and they wouldn't even know to ask about it. I think a lot of people are very, they're just uneducated. It's not, you know,
right.
Not that they don't want to be, but it's not like there's anybody out there, you know, other than maybe this radio show here that's going to talk to people about, you know, good manufacturing procedures and products. And you know, people are just they're excited about this. They're scared and excited. And, you know, they go into it blindly and they'll just take whatever's out there without, you know, because they're, you know, they go to Walmart or wherever and they go buy Tylenol. And it's not like they go up to the pharmacist and like, can I have a COA for this Tylenol? You know, they're not asking for backgrounds of ibuprofen and Excedrin and all the things that they're just used to taking daily. And so when do they go into these shops that are supposedly state regulated, you know? And like you said, you've found various levels of THC and hemp and CBD in different products. We read a couple weeks ago about the different testing that different people have done, just gone into dispensaries and grabbed, you know, five of the same product and come back with five different levels of five different things. And that's no way to run an industry that's for health and healing, you know, or recreational. I mean, when you go buy a beer or a glass of wine, you want to know that what's in it is what's in it. Grab some sake, you know what I'm saying? You got to, whatever it is you're recreating with, it doesn't really matter. You want to know that, and growing up, most people on this planet just blindly trust what's out there. They'll go into the grocery store, they'll go to the pharmacy, they'll go, which always makes me go, really? You will take all those pills, but you're going to question a plant. And that's the way our government trained us. So it's, you know, it's all backwards, but And I'm like, tea, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Perfect.
It's everybody's getting confused.
The testing is a big issue.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the testing is actually a very important component. And, you know, one of these, there's a lot of variability on the results. And I don't mean where one has 10 milligrams CBD and the other one has 50, but when one has 10 milligrams and the other one has 11.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at what point do you say, okay, this is acceptable? Because, you know,
right, exactly.
One of the things with this product not being a federal legal is that there's no standard product that has, or method that's been developed. For example, if you look up acetaminophen and you go to the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, there'll be a standard there for acetaminophen that tells you what it's supposed to look like, how you test for acetaminophen, how you identify it, how you do the assay for it, and so what's the pH supposed to be. And these are pharmacopoeia ingredients. But because cannabis is a herbal, it's a very difficult thing to nail down and say, okay, you got to test this through HPLC, and it's got to be through this column, and these are the variables, and if you do this, you're going to get the same results that we have. So, for example, we can do a lab, we can see a C of A here that says it contains 70% CBD, for example, and we'll test it here in-house, and it'll have 78%. And then we'll take that to a third party, and it'll be 76. And then we'll go somewhere else, and it'll be 72 or 68. And so there is variability in the testing. And again, this is because there's no standardized, approved method for all this. So every company has to develop their own methodology of testing these products, which we have done here, and that's not an easy task.
Right. No.
So assay does present a kind of interesting situation, again, because there's no standards. And this can really ruin some manufacturing. For instance, like I said, for THC, for example, you know, if the C of A says that it has 10% THC and we test it and it comes out 13%, what number should we use for the formulation, right? Should we rely on a C of A, which is the directive of the FDA? Should we rely on a third party? Should we use our recording? So if we choose ours, then the end product is going to have more THC when it claims. If we use the C of A or the third party results, then the formulation is going to have less, right? So there is a lot of discrepancy in this, which I think we've gotten a pretty good handle on here at Invucana, but there is some discrepancy in the testing results of this. But again, it's going to probably be between plus or minus 10% of your claimed dose, and then you'll be okay there. But as we see products in the market, and I know I think everybody at this point has read the articles where they've tested products and, you know, 70% of them fail. And this also...
Yeah, they're way off the charts. They're way out of range.
They're way off the charts. Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with stability. You know, they get the oil, and the oil manufacturer says, oh, this is good for 2 years, let's say. And then they get that oil, and they heat it, and they do whatever it is, and they put it into a gummy, and they put a 2-year shelf life on it, and it's gone in 6 months, you know. So there's also stability situations because, you know, for us, for example, we do solid dose. So our stabilities rely on solid dose, which has no water content. So that's going to take away all your microbes and things like that. So, you know, we have data for solid dose, but when you incorporate, you know, pectin and stuff like that into gummies, a lot of alcohol, of course, into tinctures, things become a little bit more blurry on that end.
Yeah,
the stability of these products, which is another major point to consider.
Right.
Especially
Absolutely.
On oily products and sugary products. I think that stability there compared to solid dose is exponentially different.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, a lot of, I missed one, my little ear pod cut, so I had to switch to the other one. But I don't know if you talked about shelf life or expiration dates in that 2 seconds I missed, but that seems to be a big challenge as far as stability goes, because people just put random dates on there that this expires
random
on this
dates,
date.
Yes.
Random, and we know they're still good because we'll use them. you know, I mean, and they're
right.
fine. They work.
Right.
They work fine.
Right.
But
right.
I think people feel like they, I think they feel like they have to regulate something somehow so it'll make other people feel comfortable. Because if you just give somebody a product and there's no expiration date and they're like, wait, what, this lasts forever? Like,
right.
this doesn't last
right.
forever when you go to the grocery store, when I go, like, even Tylenol has expiration dates on it, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
How do you guys address
that? Yeah, so this
that?
Is a very important point. So we have our as a matter of fact, I think in 2 weeks now, we're doing another testing. So we have our tablets in a controlled environment, and then we also have it in humidity and temperature controlled. And then we also
mm-hmm.
have the tablets in glass jars, in clear glass jars, in clear plastic jars, in regular PET bottles. We have it in
uh-huh.
in tins. We have it in foil packs. We have it in amber bottles. And then you're being exposed to the sun, to
right.
sunlight. So now
wow.
at the end, yeah, so we're going to be looking at all those different products that we put in there and see over 3 months what has happened. And then depending on what happens, we'll formulate, if anything, to make sure that that dose can meet, you know, a longer shelf life.
Now, are you
so
just
that's what we're
sticking
doing.
Them in sunlight, like outside, or is this like a controlled environment? You got some high power lights indoors that you're working with, that kind of thing. I mean, because the general person isn't going to stick their stuff outside. They're going to just stick it on their counter or stick it in the shelf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully
so,
they'll lock
yeah,
it away.
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So of course. No. So we have basically extremes. We have, you know, kind of a stability that's controlled, the humidity and the temperature that stays the same throughout 3 months, which should be able to get some stability, some accelerated studies from that, at least some initial data. And then we do have a couple of products that are under regular light, office light, one of them being a nano powder by itself, and then we have a nano powder that's been in water, sitting in water for a while. And so we have the same sort of scenario. So we've exposed it to actual sunlight. We've exposed it to internal here at the office. And then, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. we've put it into several different packages that we consider are basically what's how they're going to go into the market. And so we're looking at that data now. So far, you know, from what we've seen, they are pretty stable, especially in solid dose, again, because there's no water activity, mainly, which causes a lot of degradation of the product. But we will have that data, I believe April 24th is the testing day. So we will have that stability data. And then, but, you know, just extrapolating stability data from the pharmaceutical side and solid dose compared to oils, we know that the shelf life is considerably longer. But again, we are in the process of getting those exact numbers now, and we're most likely going to write a paper about it.
Now, are you, you're the science guy. Are you actually, are you creating new products for Virginia Shelves? Are you creating these little dissolvable gummy or dissolvable tablets and putting them out? Or are you just helping people to do that? Because your website looks like you do everything from white labeling to helping people manufacture their and formulating their own products. And are you creating products for the market?
Yeah, so we're a contract manufacturer, so we can basically manufacture any step of that process. For instance, we can, if a manufacturer already has a tableting machine, we can create that, like I mentioned earlier, but we're beginning that intermediate product. And so they never have to purchase oil, or they never have to go through the granulations and all the steps that are required to turn that oil into a flowable, compressible powder. So that's one aspect. So we can give the active ingredients already ready to be compressed. And so then from there, they would take that powder and they would make chewables from there. They would make pills from that powder. So they can kind of branch out from that powder to make several kinds of solid doses, dosages. So that's one way, if they have those machines. Some folks, who already make gummies, they already have packaging machines. So what we would do is make the tablets for them in bulk, and then send them the bulk tablets, and then they can do their own packaging. And lastly, we have a full production line here, including packaging. So we can do turnkey product, and that's either customized or white label. And here in Virginia, there's a requirement to have a 25-to-1 on these products, so 25 CBD, 1 milligram. THCs are limit over here. So we're able to make full turnkey product. And again, most of our customers, which is great, which is kind of what I was hoping for, are very small customers. And so for them to take any part of that process is more difficult, because if our customers, for example, are involved in any of the packaging or labeling or any aspect that is not just retail, their location has to also meet the FDA regulations for storage of these products. So if they don't have that, so we can help them. For example, if they have their own packaging, but they're only certified for foods, because that's what the law requires for gummies. So we will go in there and set up their SOPs. We'll set up on the formulation side. We'll teach them. We'll train them. So they can start making their own solid dose. So we handle all the aspects of the production process, and in addition to the R&D work that we do, and that sort of encompasses. And then we also provide any of the excipients, which is the inactive ingredients, to those customers. Oh. So we can provide, for example, the directly compressible powder. And then in addition to that, we can supply them the cellulose or the disintegrant that they need to make whatever it is they want to make. So, for example, for a chewable, they're going to need some soluble ingredients for that, right, so it can have a good mouthfeel, so the viability can be there, as opposed to a regular tablet that goes right into your stomach, right? There's no sublingual things happening.
Right.
There's no, right. So I hope that answers that. But yes, we're involved in every aspect of the production, of the research, of these forms.
So do you have a Imbucana cap? Do you have your own product out there? Yeah. No, I mean, do you have your own little?
No. So that was one thing that I, very early on before I started Imbucana, there was obviously two choices for us. Either we were going to be a brand, or we were going to offer brands, their own product,
right,
with their own brands. And since I come from pharma manufacturing, I figured you should probably do what you know,
right.
And so that's why I decided. Yeah, so I said I would love to be in retail. It's probably the funnest thing to be in, but it's not really my expertise. We're really a science based company. So I decided, we'll let the retails handle that part, and we'll just make up some really great product. So that's how we decided that.
So if someone comes to you and says, I want a 1.5 milligram chewable tablet that tastes like lemon, can you make that? Is that what you do? Okay, cool.
That's exactly what
we're going to
order. Yeah,
we'll
that's
be
exactly
our
what
order.
We do.
That's great. Oh,
well,
that's awesome.
Great news.
That's cool. Yeah, and you
so,
can sell, because
you
it's hemp under the farm bill, yeah, you can sell to all of our states. You can sell anywhere.
All your states, yeah.
All the states. Awesome.
Yes, all the states. And if then, it's becoming it's becoming some pretty good trend, and for good reason, by the way, because I know we took a microdose the other day as we were evaluating some chewables, and it works. I'll tell you, it definitely works.
I was going to ask if you yourself use cannabis or hemp products.
Yes, I do. I'm actually a medical card holder.
All right.
So yes,
Yes, yes.
Is that how you got into cannabis place? Because you're a user?
Not necessarily. Of course, you know, again, it came in through the formulation side of things, but obviously I use it. I get back pain a lot and have some anxiety. So for me, it's been fantastic for many, many years. And so, again, when the opportunity came that we were able to formulate this, it was really a perfect fit for me to be able to deliver this, something that I truly believe in and have been for over 20 years or more.
Oh, that's
so,
great.
It's usually
somebody that has
nice
a personal experience, that gets into the industry that way, usually. I mean, sometimes it's just big money and there's that too. But
that wasn't the reason.
Hey, everybody has to pay their bills. Do you formulate strain specific?
Strain specific?
Yes, or terpene specific, you know, cannabinoid specific.
So we can do all of them. We're working with a company that does flavored terpenes. We're exploring that with them. One of the great things that we do here, which is really not heard of much more anymore, is that we will process many of our customers, you can imagine, have their own brands, or they are vertical integrated, or they're farmers, right? They farm their hemp, and then they process it themselves, and they package it themselves.
Right.
These are the folks that we deal with on a pretty much a consistent basis. I don't know if that answers that.
No, you're good. I was like, oh my gosh. I know. I'm like, wow, oh my God, we could be here for another 3 hours, I'm sure.
We can use that. So we can use their oil as well. So customers can send us their oil we'll process it for them. They don't have to stick to our oil. I recommend it because we have approved vendors here that we've audited, and they are GMP vendors. That's the only company we work with, you know, if they're certified.
Right, absolutely,
we can definitely use the customer's oil.
That's really great. Yeah, if they're certified all the way around, you don't want to mess up your clean environment over there, your sterilized environment.
even though it might be the customer's oil that they're going to send us, it's still going to go through the exact same quality procedures. There's no difference.
Yeah.
We're still going to get the oil tested. Yeah. It's going to go through the entire thing.
Now, do you have a preference of organic products versus not?
We always prefer organic.
Come into play.
We always prefer organic. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the customer, so we are a contract, but I always try and push organic. And all
you
of our
can
materials
source
are non-GMO.
That as well.
Yeah,
oh,
we
nice.
Can source it. And again, all our materials are non-GMO as well, and we're trying to get kosher here to process. We're still going through that. Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, wow.
Yeah.
This has been really an awesome conversation, Leo. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. And we will be in touch for sure. And why don't you let all of our listeners know anywhere in the country, because you can get anywhere now, how they can contact you.
Sure, thank you. So it's Hannah at Roanoke, Virginia. And you can always go to our website, which is invicana.com. Or you can just call me directly, 540-597-2050, or email me at leo@invicana.com.
Awesome. There you go, Leo. Thank you for doing what you do. We appreciate it. And I know all the generations will appreciate it, the quality especially.
Thank you.
I appreciate that and the consistency. Yeah, and have fun. Have a
Thank
great
you,
day. And we hope to talk to you. Yeah, it's a pleasure. And we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye, you too.
All right, there we go. Leo Mendez of Ibicana. And I can't believe it, but we are already to the end of the show. You can't even turn that on because start singing, Silver Sister. Do it. Get your fiddle out. That was a great interview. Check them out, abucana.com. Check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And come on down and get certified, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. Remember, be smart, be safe, and educate. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you next week. Whoop.